This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. Welcome to the Noon Business Hour, and good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got cloudy skies right now. It's much cooler at the lakefront than it is inland. 62 degrees at O'Hare, 46 along Chicago's lakefront.
At one point, the Dow was down nearly 400 points, and it almost climbed all the way back, but not quite. The latest on the numbers from Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
Rob, you must be reading my script. That's what I was going to say. You're exactly right. The Dow is down more than 300 points earlier today. We had losses of 1.25% across the board. But look at this. Now the Dow down just 85 points, or a third of a percent. NASDAQ falling 26, and the S&P lower by 12. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index still down about 2/3%. A lot of the hardest hit companies are banks, healthcare, and those in telecom. Wall Street is digesting a string of solid, but not necessarily inspiring earnings reports from Spotify, Dow, DuPont, and more. We did see gains for Gillette owner Procter & Gamble. A few reports indicate that layoffs have slowed, but so has hiring. The newly unemployed filed 211,000 applications for benefits last week. That's close to a five-decade low. Challenger, Gray, and Christmas says companies announced 40% fewer layoffs last month than in March. But hiring in U.S. service industries cooled, along with growth in the largest sector of our economy, that from the Institute for Supply Management. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Lisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, lots of information today on the economy. We will have those reports. Also, what is Warren Buffett thinking about the markets these days? We'll have a preview of his weekend group.
The Noon Business Hour presented by Old Second Bank. Then we'll talk about this bizarre conference call that Elon Musk had yesterday, talking about performance at Tesla. And peer pressure, not necessarily a bad thing, especially if your peers are pressuring you to be more responsible. We'll talk about all that and more coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The annual Berkshire Hathaway shareholders meeting will take place in Omaha this weekend. We're going to be looking ahead at Warren Buffett's closely watched event in our next segment. Right now, let's talk about the very busy week that we have then continuing on Wall Street ahead of tomorrow's government jobs report for April. We're joined by Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York. Carl, we have a lot of different reports today from trade talks with China, factory orders, and unemployment numbers. What are you looking at specifically?
Well, we're watching them all, and you're right that it's a very busy week with lots of new information for the markets to digest, including yesterday news that the government would be issuing more Treasury securities to help finance the tax cuts at the start of the year. But in terms of today's news, there's really two focal points. So one, trade has become much more important in recent months, given this focus that the administration is taking on trade deficits and trade policy. Now, we saw some dramatic narrowing in the trade gap in March, so that should be some good news, but don't pop the champagne cork just yet, because really what seems to have happened, first of all, we see strange movements in trade flows in Q1 often because that's when Chinese New Year falls. And so if they're shutting down the country for a week for celebrations, that tends to impact a lot of those products that are coming over to the U.S. But on top of that, a lot of supply chain participants stockpiled goods during the course of Q4 of last year because they sensed that the administration was pivoting towards trade policy and they wanted to get as much product onshore before those restrictions went into effect. And so we saw a surge in imports in Q4, and we're getting a little bit of a payback now in the Q1 data. And that was, of course, the final data point for Q1, the March numbers we saw this morning.
An American delegation arrived in China today for talks about tariffs. Where could that take us?
Well, as they said before they got on the plane, the negotiations and discussions will take place in Beijing, but the decision will be made back in Washington, D.C. in the White House. And I don't have a tremendous sense of optimism that we're going to see significant advancements here. And I suspect an ongoing theme from now right through to the midterm elections in November is going to be kind of a tit-for-tat, a retaliatory approach to these trade tariffs. I don't see this devolving into a significant trade war, but I think it's just going to be little shots fired across the bow of tech companies and certain products.
With these negotiations with China over trade, when negotiators sit down, is this going to be a case of generals fighting the last war, or will the current environment, these numbers, color the dimension of the negotiations?
Well, it's the last war, but it's still ongoing, and absolutely the U.S. has a huge trade imbalance with China. They're sending a lot more product here than we send there. There's lots of tariffs that are not symmetric between the two economies. One of the highly publicized one has been the tariffs placed on automobiles. And so they are fighting an ongoing war that has been in place for quite some time. I don't know that we'll have that much room for compromise. The Chinese have made it very clear with their Made in China agenda. They're trying to really prioritize manufacturing and especially tech manufacturing in China. I don't see them backing away from that. And if they were to accede to U.S. Trade restrictions, that would be significantly hurting their own economy, which has been growing solidly but decelerating. And the U.S., I don't see President Trump really backing away from the rhetoric that he has used so commonly and to such great success on the campaign trail in Rust Belt states.
Thank you very much, Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist with Bloomberg, based in New York. Coming up next, a preview of what's been described as a pilgrimage for investors featuring Warren Buffett that'll take place this weekend.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Investor eyes are on Omaha this weekend, where Warren Buffett will hold court at the Berkshire Hathaway Annual Shareholders Meeting. Let's get a preview from Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer, Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut, and author of the book, Even Buffett Isn't Perfect. Vahan, welcome back to the program. Does this conference bolster the thesis statement of your book or disprove it?
Well, you know, neither. I would say neither. This is something that happens every year. It's always an interesting conference. I won't be going this year, but I've been to a conference in the past. And things, I have to say, are a little bit different than they used to be. Several years ago, they used to have 13 microphones around the room, and people would wait in line to ask Warren Buffett questions. And they would sometimes get some pretty ridiculous questions. So now they've kind of put a filter on there. They've got some journalists up there. If you want to ask a question, you have to write it on a card and submit it to the journalists, and they decide which questions get asked.
And in general, what are some of the things that Warren Buffett talks about at this conference?
A lot of it has to do with his philosophy on life, believe it or not. The actual formal part of the meeting is only about 15 minutes long. Other than that, he and Charlie Munger basically sit on a stage and they answer questions for the rest of the day. And this typically takes, 8 hours. So they're in there answering questions, and people will sometimes ask, questions that really have very little to do with the business, but perhaps might be related. For example, they may ask questions about his views on ethics and how corporations should be run. They might ask his views on taxes, whether we should have higher taxes or lower taxes, whether the rich should pay more taxes. They'll ask questions like that. But, these days we're also getting a lot of good questions about the company. I mean, if I could ask a question, the question I would ask right now is, why are you holding so much cash and when are you going to put it to work? Berkshire Hathaway has about $116 billion in cash right now. And what's interesting is that if you look at the kinds of stocks that Berkshire Hathaway buys, they're almost always companies that pay good dividends, yet Berkshire Hathaway itself does not pay dividends, and I find that a little inconsistent.
And why do you think that is?
Well, the reason he gives for not paying dividends is that he thinks that he can put the money to better use. And, of course, what he means by that is that he's looking for businesses to buy. I mean, he's been saying for years that he's looking for an elephant, a really big acquisition that's going to cost at least about $50 billion. But perhaps he thought that prices were too high. The stock market, as you know, has done extremely well in recent years, so maybe he's having trouble finding things at bargains. And, of course, Warren Buffett likes to buy things when they are bargain-priced. So perhaps he's just sitting on the cash waiting for the right opportunity. But that cash is a drag. I mean, we're in a period where interest rates are extremely low, and perhaps it would be better if he returned the cash to the investors who could then decide for themselves what other stocks they want to buy with that.
Be interesting to see how it all turns out. Thanks so much for joining us, Vahan. Vahan Janjigian is Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut, author of the book Even Buffett Isn't Perfect. And still ahead on Technology Thursday, a look behind what's being described as a meltdown by the founder of Tesla, Elon Musk, during a conference call with analysts.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. WBBM Business is sponsored by Baird. From Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Rob, stocks have clawed their way back from losses of more than 1% across the board. And right now we're looking at losses closer to 0.25% for the blue chips, down 53 points. NASDAQ losing 22, S&P lower by 11. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg right now is lower by 0.75%. So again, we did see much steeper losses earlier. We saw an analyst at Miller Value Partners who thinks that the turnaround is due to a lack of, quote, tape bombs following the trade talks between the U.S. and China. Now, both sides agreed not to speak about their negotiations. Boeing might be a bellwether, according to the analyst, to watch on this particular issue, and that plane maker is heading higher. We've got a check of the grains markets. Before that, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have wheat leading the way again on the wheat tour out west, having poor wheat showing up. We've been up 8.75 to early down 6.5. At the moment, July wheat up 5.75 at 5.32.5. That's helped support corn, which has been up 3 to down 2. At the moment, we have July up 2.75 at 4.07.5. And we have beans for July down 4.25 at 10.38.75. The have been down 9 there to up 3. So mixed prices across the board, corn and wheat higher, beans lower. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
You can reach us at 800. Thank you, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are teeter-tottering today. We'll see what's taken Wall Street on a ride.
Technology Thursday, shares of Tesla fall after the founder, Elon Musk, holds an analyst conference call that's being called unusual and peculiar.
Peer pressure can sometimes be a positive thing when it comes to finances.
Cleanup is underway after powerful storms rake our area, but more severe weather could be on the way.
And a member of the Trump legal team says the president reimbursed Michael Cohen for a payment made to adult film star Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 63 points, the NASDAQ off 23, S&P 500 down by 10.5.
Clouds and breaks of sun this afternoon, a high of 72, but much cooler along the lakefront, could see some strong storms tonight. It's 62 degrees in Chicago, and the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by Old Second Bank.
It's been a roller coaster ride for the markets today. We are joined by Michael Palumbo, Chief Portfolio Officer at TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Michael, welcome back to the program. What are you seeing in the market today?
Good afternoon, Chris and Rob. You know, there's not a lot of movement. We have, as you just mentioned, a slight sell-off. And the biggest news by far is the Tesla earnings conference call yesterday, which was bizarre to say the least. And I think that has the NASDAQ overall a little bit rattled. But, I mean, the markets themselves are only down a couple, 20 basis points, basically. Just the S&P right now is down 7. So not a big move day, but the big news would be that Tesla story.
And that does that knock off price on a stock when the owner of the fund is saying things that are a little odd?
Well, yeah. The thing is Tesla's down 6.5%. Elon Musk obviously has always been a unique figure, and sometimes guys that start companies, especially successful operations like Tesla, they're going to be. They're not going to be your cookie cutter CEOs, but the problem is when you have a CEO that he or she is the single biggest figure, representing the company. So you never want them to appear unhinged. And yesterday's conference call, Musk was not even his normal self, which is already kind of a little bit odd, but he actually kind of got belligerent with some analysts, and that doesn't normally happen on conference calls. Conference calls are usually just get down to business, tell the numbers, get the information out there, explain why the numbers are the way they are, and it got actually very confrontational, which, like I said, is very abnormal.
Let's talk about the Warren Buffett conference that's coming up in Omaha. Generally, any news or information that comes out of that conference, I mean, just given the influence that Warren Buffett has just on the economy in general, does that move markets, anything that he might say?
Well, it could. I mean, in the past, sometimes he'll go and give a big macro perspective, and that could move markets, and sometimes he doesn't. So it's going to depend on what this one has in store for itself. My guess is it won't be a big market mover, just because Warren likes to, he likes to talk about his companies, and he might say a specific name, which might move that. But overall markets, generally, he doesn't give a lot of macro, a lot of market perception, and he's always long, so he's been bullish the United States for 50 years, and that's why he's as wealthy as he is.
Well, even at the depths of the recession, I remember him buying a big stake in the BNSF Railroad because he said he was going to make a bet in America in the depths of the Great Recession, and it would appear that that has paid off, especially when you talk about the trade numbers that have been coming out over the past year.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the macro numbers in the United States have been solid. So markets are a couple percent off the highs for the year, but really things are fine. Right now, the S&P is down, I think, 2% for the year, which certainly, when you're used to the market going up every year, which we've been having, is a bad year. But I think it really is just kind of taking a little bit of a breather here, because it's been running up 10-20% a year for the last 5-6 years, and we've been in basically a bull market since that great recession you mentioned. So this is kind of a taking a breather, and whether there's more to it or not, we're going to find out. But my guess is we just have maybe an even type year, and then maybe the bull market resumes either later this year or next year.
Michael, what's a good calculated risk this year?
Well, I've said in the past that last year my pick was GM, which did very well, but I've said this year that I like home builders, and I think it's just because, well, I'll tell you what our thesis is, that home builders are underappreciated in a rising interest rate environment. They generally don't do that well, but they underperformed last year, and I think that these stocks are good bets for this year. So I like to kind of do a lot of times some counterintuitive investments, because sometimes markets forget about industries that are really doing well, and that this is one sector that I love. So home builders for this year, and also airlines.
And what do you like about the airline industry?
The airline industry, just because it had not a great year last year, and their numbers are still solid. If you look at the numbers per seat and just the margins in the industry, they've never been better. And you look at the past, what's happened to airlines is that their expenses, whether it's gas prices or crude oil prices or the prices of labor, they've had issues, and then they've gotten very competitive with each other. But that's not happening this time. So I love the sector. I think it's going to outperform this year, and I think that, along with home builders, is a great bet.
Michael, thanks for joining us today. Michael Palumbo, Chief Portfolio Officer at TMT Perseverance Fund, author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Coming up, Technology Thursday, a business conference call puts a dent in Tesla stock, as you have been hearing.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, and Tesla founder Elon Musk has caused quite a stir by dismissing some analyst questions as stupid and boring during a conference call. Let's get the latest on this strange situation from Craig Trudell, U.S. auto team leader, Bloomberg News, based in Detroit. Craig, welcome back to the program. This conference call performance actually moved markets for a little while.
Absolutely. And you called it strange. I think others are calling it unhinged or bizarre. And it's still moving Tesla stock. The stock was down more than 8% at one point today and is down about 6% now, which is still a rough day for Tesla. It actually was looking, things were looking up when the earnings release went out last night. They said that they're going to generate cash in the second half of this year and maybe even turn a profit, which anyone who's followed Tesla and Elon Musk knows would be a rarity and sort of a change from the norm. And the shares were initially up, but then the conference call started. Elon Musk was very abrasive and cut off analysts from asking questions. And they were legitimate questions about the sort of the state of the company's finances. And instead of answering those, he went to a YouTuber who wanted to ask questions on behalf of retail investors, he claimed. So he had some slightly easier questions that way, and eventually did go back to the analyst. But by then, the stock was already trading down by quite a bit last night.
When I read about this performance, the first thing that jumped to mind was Martin Short's character of Nathan Thurm from Saturday Night Live, the very defensive PR guy who dismissed everybody's questions. Has this ever happened before on an earnings conference call? Is this uncharted territory?
You know, we actually were just having a conversation about sort of what was the craziest conference call that people have heard in the past. And there was the CEO of Overstock years ago was addressing questions about a hedge fund that was shorting his company. And he talked about some sort of conspiracy going on being led by a Sith Lord, which was a reference to the Star Wars nemesis, of course. So certainly there's been some colorful moments on earnings calls over the years, and this has to rank up there as one of the more interesting ones.
Well, if the numbers that they're giving are you know, good, it would seem that you wouldn't just pass it up because he's acting in a strange way. Maybe this is a time for a contrarian to step forward.
Yeah, I suppose. I think, you know, I guess the things about the release that were sort of interesting and were positive were sort of forward-looking. But when you actually take stock of how they did in the first quarter, the company did burn through another $1 billion worth of cash. And that's the third time in the last four quarters that they've done that. So they say they're going to sort of get their act together and will be able to generate cash later this year. And the reason for that, they say, is getting the Model 3 sedan up and running. And that is a hugely important car for them. It starts at $35,000. They're not selling that cheap version yet. But there are hundreds of thousands of reservation holders waiting for that car, and they've been waiting quite a long time because the company hasn't been able to figure out how to mass manufacture. That's turned out to be a lot more difficult than Elon Musk reckoned.
Well, it's a story we're all going to be watching, that's for sure. Craig Trudell, thanks for joining us. Craig is U.S. auto team leader in Bloomberg News in Detroit. And join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. Still to come, using peer pressure as a positive financial tool.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A study co-authored by the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business indicates that people will spend less if they know the financial habits of other people similar to them in age, income, and other areas. Well, let's talk about this with Craig Bonanos, who is founding partner and chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness. Craig, welcome to our program.
Absolutely. Great to be back. I mean, behavioral finance, peer pressure, and money, such an interesting topic.
So, and this would be positive peer pressure. How does it work?
Well, I think that's right. Everyone has this negative connotation with peer pressure, but for us as practitioners in financial planning, peer pressure can have such an incredibly positive effect on what I call people's savings habits. And let me give you an example that's actually non-financial. For all of our listeners that get their electricity from ComEd, they get their bill and they get an energy comparison relative to their neighbors. And if you find out that you're consuming way more electricity than your neighbors, what do? You start cutting back. So one of the tools and techniques that people should be using is doing a financial benchmark relative to people of similar age and similar income to understand how well they're pacing towards retirement.
That's also, it's one thing to judge how much electricity your neighbors are using. I mean, if you're the only one with Christmas lights on in the middle of May, you know that you're the outlier. But other people, they keep their financial facts and figures and secrets under many, many wraps. So how do you figure out how your peers are doing when it comes to saving for retirement or how much cash they have on hand?
Well, I think, and that's why this is so interesting, and I go back to these studies, you know, from University of Chicago, where everybody benchmarks and compares to their own expectations when they're doing retirement planning. But the benefit of technology is we've been able to harvest so much data, so we can now suggest to someone in a range that if you made $100,000 per year, you wanted to retire at 65, then at different ages, you need to have X number of dollars saved. And when people see that, you know, relative to others, all of a sudden it makes them question, gee, do I need that next vacation? Should I be putting more money into my 401k? Should I be listening to the WBBM Business Hour to get some investment tips to improve my rate of return?
The answer is yes on that one.
Absolutely.
So, at what point, what is the age here that is the most effective time?
Well, you know, I think, you know, if we're really just going to focus on, you know, the benefits of money, peer pressure, and benchmarking, I think the most effective time is tomorrow. I always tell everybody, you know, there is no tomorrow when it comes to securing our own finances. But what's more realistic? If you are 50, 55 years old, and you're starting to see friends, family members, other people you associate in the workforce starting to separate from service and retire, that is a perfect time for you to get a good idea on where your finances are going to make sure you're benchmarking appropriately.
Well, thank you.
It's never too late to start, but there's definitely a core zone when I think everyone gets renewed interest.
Well, great advice. Thanks again, Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer of the Wealth Management Group based at Inverness. And if you've missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new radio.com app. Business next. WBBM News Time, 12:55. WBBM Business is sponsored by Leapfrog Technology Group from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, we have come back from much deeper losses, and in fact, the Dow is headed higher, up 8 points. NASDAQ lower by just 10, S&P off 4. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by only 0.33%. So stocks are recovering as the Trump administration's economic team ends its first day of trade talks in Beijing. No news of a break, but also no news of a breakdown. No relief for Tesla, though. That stock is tumbling more than 6% as investors take CEO Elon Musk's advice. During the company's conference call, Musk said if investors are worried about volatility, they should not buy Tesla shares. In fact, at another point, he said, you should sell your Tesla stock. And that's exactly what they're doing. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.